even want me around. And now I'm back to let you know I can really shake them down. Do you love me?
Letter in front of you, I believe, just distributed a letter that's signed by myself and Wes Moreno, the Escambia County Administrator, and about, you know, we're encouraged that the Opening Doors is looking to add a governmental board, and so we're not exactly sure what the selection process is going to be for that, or who's in charge of that. There's still a little bit of unknowns.
If you haven't really been following this story, it goes back to the Escambia County. Well, it actually goes back to the PNJ earlier last week, Tuesday or Wednesday. I forget when an article came out. Molly Barrows writing about the dire and urgent need for emergency funding for the REAP lodges to help out the Women and Children's Shelter slice of what REAP oversees. And if they didn't come up with money real soon, they're going to have to close their doors and kick all these women out, and that was going to be a problem. That got published, and then I think it was a Wednesday story, but then Thursday at the Escambia County Commission meeting, you had a request to do something, and the commissioners, who were all very angry, and I think fairly so, justifiably so, angry at what was seemed like a PR move to try to make them feel pressured into helping out the REAP lodges, because this stuff kind of went out to everybody and the media got a hold of it. PNJ publishes a piece, makes it seem like if the commission doesn't help, then they're the Scrooges in the room. So they come up with this, $15,000 temporary stopgap measure to just kind of keep the doors open for a little while until something more permanent can be done. You heard David talking about this at the top of the hour. Well, this is now the sort of follow-up to that is Wes Moreno, the county administrator, has apparently sent a letter to the city. D.C. Reeves has agreed that there's going to be, kind of an oversight board of some kind. Details TBD. We'll talk about that with him this morning at 7:35 in order to try to create a little bit of order out of the chaos that is the various programs that are funding, or helping out with the homeless. Remember, when all the money came in from the feds and we spent a bunch of it on, helping REAP do like the temporary housing shelter there on Palafox Street and the women's shelter, and there's an outdoor camp. I always forget where it's at. But in any case, a lot of money has been spent. The city has spent a lot of its money. The county has not spent much of its money. They've been much more reluctant to, release the funds and invest in a program. And this is part of the reason why. Is because if you put a bunch of money into stuff and up front, well, where does the continuing operational funding come from? If they have great donation resources, then it's sort of viable long term. But if it's something that's going to have to go on and it only has right now money, well, that becomes an issue. And that apparently is kind of where we stand. And, there were a lot of other questions, but the short version of this is that it was presented as a crisis. The crisis has been temporarily averted, but that doesn't solve the long-term business model idea of, how do we do this going forward? So that's what this is all about, if you kind of don't have the backstory on this. Something else interesting that got announced yesterday in the press conference by Mayor Reeves had to do with a very, very popular homeless camp area that is going to be, it already isn't really legal to be there, but this is now going to be, extra illegal.
We are announcing we've got the peninsula across from Bayou Tahar over the trestle. It's not for pedestrian. There's no pedestrian access over there. It has been designated as a dredge spoil site. So that means there won't be anybody allowed to go over there. And we're going to be working through getting the proper security over on that side. And so we'll be maintaining that for the foreseeable future as a dredge spoil site.
So there's stormwater outfall pipes? I'm not really clear, even though they talked a little bit about it in the press conference. But there's going to, when you have stormwater carries dirt and silt, and they're going to clean those up. They're going to dredge those, and they're going to deposit the dredge up on Hobo Beach. Or somewhere in that vicinity. It might not be right on the beach. It might be in the woods area there. So this is, if 17th Avenue, the graffiti bridge, if you get up on the train tracks, there's a walkway across the train tracks where you don't have to be on the tracks. It's, you know, kind of an access walkway, whatever you want to call it. And if you walk over, which I'm sure many of you have done, maybe many of you have not, but, you know, if you walk over, there's this, you know, kind of nice little beach on the east side across from the boat ramp. And, you know, people walk over this all the time, particularly homeless people like to camp out on that beach or in those woods. And if you walk far to the east and follow the train tracks, there's some neighborhoods there, but I don't think anybody really accesses it that way. But the point he's saying is that people go over there now, and they're not going to be able to. I know Ocean Hour typically cleans up in that vicinity every couple of weeks, and, you know, they pick up all the basically, you know, they pick up all the trash and they pick up the spray bottles that have been exhausted. And there's a lot on the east side there. I've walked over there, you know, with my kids. We've gone and cleaned up for Ocean Hour. We've walked over there. But it is a popular homeless site to camp out. And what he's saying is they're not going to be allowed to do that anymore. You're not supposed to anyway, you know, soft enforcement, I would say. But now it's going to be extra unsafe because of the dredge deposits and the whatever might be in that arguably contaminated soil, and he says you're not going to be able to go over there anymore.
What I can speak to is anybody being over there, and what I can tell you is there's no pedestrian access over there. So anybody that's over there, regardless of whether they're housed or unhoused, it already is prohibited. But now even more from an environmental standpoint of what's being dredged and being put there.
Yeah, and again, I don't, you know, this is actually the kind of location where I think most of us think, you know, if the homeless people have to camp somewhere, you know, that's a pretty good place for them to camp because they're away from everybody else out on the, it is a peninsula, but it kind of functions like an island almost. And you could get to it with a kayak or a canoe or a boat or something like that. But, you know, the only real way most people get there is by walking across those trains. Candy, have you ever walked over? You know the place I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I mean, not recently, but yeah. When I got here.
So,
sure.
Yeah. And if you go over there, there's always, you know, homeless areas, tents, right. Campsites, right. Whatever, trash. Sometimes they clean up, sometimes they don't. There's actually an old, it's an Indian, Native American site on the top of that hill, if I remember correctly, that's kind of viewed as semi-sacred. I don't know too much of the history, but, you know, just interesting stuff over there. But he says, look, it doesn't matter whether they're homeless or not. People aren't supposed to go over there, and now they're really not supposed to go over there.
It's not whether homeless people can be there or housed people can be there. It's the fact that, you know, the only way that you can get over there on foot is to go on the train tracks, which is illegal. So, you know, that it's really, it doesn't change really the status of that peninsula as it stands. There's just going to be some more formality, some more signage to it because it's being used as an environmental dredgeable site.
So I will talk to him about this 735 and ask, you know, like, how long term is this meant to be? How robust is this enforcement meant to be? Because, you know, look, the city has the capability of enforcing anything that it wants to. But this is, I would say, and never enforced, you know, unless there's some problem. Right. And historically, really haven't been that many problems over there. But it is a popular site for homeless people to camp. I mean, whenever we'd go over there, I mean, I see like three or four tents or, you know, there's a downed tree from Sally that were, maybe it was before Sally, but that was a very popular place to, you know, build around because it was a sort of a structure you could use. So, you know, we're not talking about 100 people. We're talking, you know, probably like 5 or 10 people, something like that. 518 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We also learned yesterday that the cost to demolish Old Baptist is going to be not cheap.
The original hospital, I believe, was built in 1951. And so every time there was an expansion at Baptist, I think they would tell you that there was a lot of issues and complexity even for them to add to their own campus from an environmental standpoint. So, you know, we have a general idea of what we think the price, you know, we think it would be about a $17 million demo. And with other infrastructure, you know, we're looking at ballpark right now about a $20 million lift.
Yeah. I say Old Baptist, it's current Baptist, but it will be, you know, Old Baptist come, gosh, what's the date, September or something or other? We're not that far out from when, the new Baptist Hospital on Brent is going to be, you know, open for business, full transition and all of that. And then, you know, what do you do with the old one? Well, it doesn't look like it's useful for too much. You know, we've been trying to figure out what to do with that property and, you know, how to maybe turn it into housing. And none of that has really materialized yet. But, you know, lots of ideas, lots of desire. But, you know, right now it looks like a property that's just going to have to go away because it's not really, I mean, it's very old. Therefore, you're going to have all kinds of hazards and it's hard to convert a hospital into anything else. Witness the old medical facility on Palafox. It's still there, you know, just waiting for somebody to come along and do something with it. 519 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. If you're thinking about buying or selling and just trying to figure out what to do and want good advice, good input, get some questions answered, call Christina Leavenworth. She knows. She's great at this. She sold 230-plus homes last year, and her folks at Levin Rinke Realty are fantastic. And, you know, she can just kind of help you have that perspective. Like, you know, in your – not just your neighborhood or based on what the interest rates in the market is doing, but even, like, at your price point. You know, because what might be true is it might be true that the house you want to sell at $400-ish, let's say, maybe those houses are moving great right now. Maybe they're not. You know, maybe you got a 500 and that's very different from a 400 in terms of what the market is looking for, or a 3 or a 600. And that's my point, is it's not enough to just kind of generally say, well, the market's slow or it's fast or there's high or low inventory. It really matters where the price point is for that inventory. And so it can make a big difference. And she knows all of this stuff. And she'll help you just make a good choice about, well, now, later, what's the idea? Or is there a place you can move to where it's maybe a little bit more advantageous? I mean, all of that, okay? She is an expert, and she loves to talk about real estate. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, Pensacola Bay Oysters, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Are you ready to kickstart your career or make a change in your current career? George Stone Technical College offers short-term, hands-on programs that equip you with industry-recognized certifications in fields that offer jobs right here in Pensacola or abroad. George Stone Technical College offers 25 different career programs and can provide you with a career in a year. George Stone offers financial aid and has grant opportunities for all students right now. To learn about all the programs, costs, and schedules, visit georgestonecollege.edu.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie. It's like headline news for radio. Every day, 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You're hit. You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
Young kids, Soundgarden.
Ah, Soundgarden. That takes me back.
How old are those folks in Soundgarden? They got to be 60.
They have to be. Right. Yeah, I mean, they were older when I was younger. Yeah.
I don't really do anything with it. Pretty much most days, but every day on my list of show prep is, you know, kind of a this day in history,
right,
and
sure.
Also a who was born, you know, this day in history. And this one will make you upset. You ready? Today is the birthday of Shelley Long and Rick Springfield.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Shelley Long from Cheers and Rick Springfield from...
And my wife, I said, oh, man, you know, tomorrow, Rick Springfield, his birthday. And she's like, who? And she's messing with me, but she's, you know, also... So who's older, Rick Springfield or Shelley Long?
Shelley Long.
Same age.
No.
Gets the number.
I don't want to.
74.
No. 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 That's not true. Is that true?
Rick Springfield is 74.
He's like my father-in-law's
That's
age?
That's right. He's almost old enough to be president. 74. I
hate it when you do that. 74. 74. Wow.
Rick Springfield is almost as old as Joe Biden, if you want to think of it that way. How's life doing for you right now? David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Wow.
Well, tonight is the big Republican presidential debate in Milwaukee. It's the first debate of the 2024 primary season. The candidates that will be there tonight include, of course, Governor DeSantis, former Vice President Mike Pence, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, Vivek Ramaswamy, I think, will be there, pretty anticipated as well. Former President Trump has, of course, decided to skip that debate.
There's a solid eight. It's a solid eight tonight.
A solid eight.
Solid
yes.
eight, yeah. You know, which is better than 17. Remember the yes. last GOP Ooh, round?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was bad.
Of course, also remember the last time the Democrats did debates. You know, it's a big field. But eight's not really that many for this early in the process. But, yeah. And we're carrying it, right?
Yeah, we're going to carry it tonight at 8.
Is it 8-hour time? Is that when it starts? I thought it was 7. I don't know.
All I know is somebody else is doing it.
I'm sure coverage will start an hour before the actual.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
all right.
So,
and a key is that it's not 9.
No.
Meaning somebody's missing.
Oh, Trump. Right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He's doing the pre-recorded, you know, hottest interview ever with Tucker Carlson on Twitter.
That guy that got fired from Fox.
On X, yes.
No, sorry.
On the platform formerly known as Twitter.
So he's not going to do it on Truth Social?
I didn't mean to misgender Twitter. Oh, no. You know, interesting question, though. I thought it was going to be on X, not on Truth Social.
But that's what I'm saying. If Truth Social is Trump's network, then why wouldn't you want it to be like...
Well, I mean, if you're going to do a debate, you don't want to do it on your own network. I mean, that's, you know...
Yes, I would. If I was biased. Like, you know, there was a channel called Channel Candy, I would certainly want to do it at that.
Is there a channel called Channel Candy?
God, I hope not.
Anyway.
On the Trump thing, do you think he's missing an opportunity by not taking part in the debate?
No, I said it before. I'll say it again. I think in some ways, yes, okay, because it's going to look bad for him to miss it. But I don't think the people who are faithful and loyal to him care. They're faithful and loyal to him. And it's only downside for him to be in this debate. I mean, he has an opportunity to look bad. And he already looks good. So
right.
What's to be gained? The only thing I will say is, you know, in his favor, sort of, is in order to be on the debate, he'd have to agree to the pledge, you know, that I'll support whoever winds up winning the nomination. He says he won't do that. Therefore, he doesn't get to be in the debate. Because he says there's a couple of people. I'm assuming Chris Christie. I don't know who the couple would be, frankly. I would think he could support any of these folks for president other than Chris Christie, who he's kind of at war with right now. You know, I mean, he would support DeSantis for president. DeSantis won the nomination, I'm sure of it. But, you know,
right.
We're not there yet. You know, we're 40 points from being there right now. Sorry, David, go ahead.
Oh, no, and that's okay. And, of course, related to the Trump talk as well, the first mugshot from the election interference case in Georgia released, the first two mugshots, that is, last night. Mugshots of co-defendants John Eastman and Scott Hall released yesterday, both surrendered to police yesterday, and former President Trump expected to surrender tomorrow.
Very good. By the way, maybe afternoon they were reporting on this yesterday, the Publix story, maybe you were reporting on it, that you're no longer allowed to bring mere emotional support pets into Publix. It has to be official certified work dogs.
There's a sign up that says, only...
Because I guess we're getting too many dogs and emotional support parakeets or whatever, you know, going into the public. So they're wanting to crack down on
emotional support's a real thing.
Yeah, okay.
I know you don't think so. I know.
I was,
it looks
weird.
I was
just getting set to take my flock of chickens in there with me. I guess now I don't have the chance.
Well, I mean, if you take a flock of chickens into Publix, you know, they might not enjoy that so much because some of their relatives are on display. You know. Herb crusted, you know, raw breast.
Don't look. I mean,
cover your
cover
eyes,
their
kids.
Little tiny
cover
eyes. Aw, that's nice.
Oh man, I don't know. I think Americans are weirdly hung up on not having dogs around things. You know, I worked at a bar in England for a while, and they just bring their dogs everywhere. And we kind of have a little
Australia
bit of that.
Australia does too.
Yeah, I mean, Dogs are fine. Cats are filthy, but you know, dogs are fine.
You don't put cats on a leash anyway.
What's that?
When you go out to any of the places down on Palafox, and all the people are sitting outside with their dogs while they eat. I love it.
It's fine. Badly behaved dogs, people don't bring them out because they know. Like, I couldn't take my dogs into Publix because they'd be, I mean, growling and frothing and yelling and screaming. You know,
see, I could take my cats though. They like to high five.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
See how that works for you.
Yeah. And you wouldn't have to. Boyd is awesome.
You wouldn't have to cover their eyes. So, you know, that's good news.
No, he would help you shop.
5:30 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, also recycling, in case you're not aware of this. I think it's October 1st. Recycling is going to end in the city of Pensacola. We're going to talk to Bruce Woody, 6:35 this morning from ECUA. But, yeah, remember, it's going to you will either maybe have an optional recycling program or you're going to get twice a week pickup. But they're ending official recycling, and they got to get rid of like 20,000 cans at the process, too.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The big Republican debate tonight in Milwaukee. Former president and frontrunner Trump not taking part. Fox's Brooke Singman.
DeSantis and Ramaswamy will take center stage. They secured those positions based on their poll numbers. Now, the furthest spots will be going to Doug Burgum and Asa Hutchinson.
Chris Christie, Mike Pence, Nikki Haley, and Tim Scott fill out the stage. Coverage begins on the Fox News channel at 8 p.m. Eastern. Trump's former attorney Rudy Giuliani expects to surrender to authorities in Atlanta today, answering state charges in Georgia of election meddling back in 2020.
Lawyer John Eastman is among some of the first to surrender to Fulton County ahead of the Friday deadline set by District Attorney Fani Willis. Eastman is being charged for having an alleged role in a plot to overturn Georgia's 2020 presidential election result.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz reporting. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31, News Radio 92.3. It is 80 degrees this morning, partly cloudy in Pensacola. We're learning more about last week's fire at the Southern Recycling Scrapyard on Merrick Street. Pensacola Fire Chief Jeannie Craner gave this update yesterday at the city press conference.
So what was burning at that fire were tires, shredded and compressed metal. Some of that metal is combustible metal, which reacts violently with water, which is a disadvantage, which created a lot of that smoke. The wind direction was headed straight toward the bayou and up into the air. So based on the wind direction and the materials burning, it was determined that we needed to apply water.
Craner says firefighters used more than 1.5 million gallons of water as they worked to extinguish the blaze, as well as 190 gallons of a biodegradable surfactant that helps materials to absorb the water. Craner says despite the potentially hazardous materials that were burning, there was no need for a shelter-in-place order in the neighborhood because of the wind speed and direction. Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office says thousands of dollars worth of drugs and weapons were seized during a search of a Milton home yesterday. Happened down at a house on Pine Ridge Drive. 26-year-old DeJore Donson was arrested during the search. The Sheriff's Office Narcotics Unit and SWAT team says they recovered fentanyl with a street value of $40,000. They also found cash, weapons, and fraudulent check-making materials. A civil lawsuit has been filed against the former dentist that's now serving jail time for inappropriately touching an employee and several patients. That civil suit filed by the employee that Stamatolis was convicted of touching, Carolyn West, is seeking $100,000 for severe mental and emotional distress. She's asking for a jury trial. Stamatolis was sentenced to 9 months in jail on a battery charge for touching West, another 8 months for inappropriately touching several patients at his dental practice. He's potentially facing more jail time as well on a perjury charge stemming from lying about why he left the state and went to Mobile. The Escambia County School District asking a federal judge to dismiss a lawsuit filed in the midst of the recent book banning controversy.
The lawsuit was filed in May by five authors, publishing company Penguin Random House, and the free speech group Pen America. In a 36-page motion filed Monday in Pensacola Federal Court, the district says it has the authority to decide what books will be allowed in schools. The motion goes on to say that while the state has final authority based on new state laws, the school district has not inhibited or prohibited the author plaintiff's ability to write, market, or sell their books. The district also argues that just because the books have been removed or restricted does not give the plaintiff standing to challenge the board's decisions. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
The legal battle over the new land ownership law here in the state of Florida continues. Five plaintiffs have filed a notice of appeal yesterday over SB 264. That's the law that took effect in July that restricts non-U.S. citizens that live in China from owning land in the state. A federal judge last week ruled in favor of the state and denied claims that the law is discriminatory. It is 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Very hot and humid day today with temperatures near 100 degrees. Feeling much warmer overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the 80s. We're going to stay hot as we go into your Thursday. Temperatures near 99 degrees, feeling much warmer. Thursday night, temperatures dropping back into the 80s. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
It's 80 in Pensacola, 82 in Gulf Breeze, 78 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this Friday on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. Pep Talk. Mornings 9 till 11 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 5:37, News Radio 92.3, hot today again. I mean, just figure it's 100 unless we tell you otherwise. I mean, that's, you know, pretty much we're under, you know, the whole map is red or purple or mauve or whatever it's supposed to be for the heat advisory. So, you know, it's hot, don't go outside when middle of the day. Get your work done while it's dark, you know, now or later, one way or the other. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, I mean, I was off last week and nothing happened. Oh, my God. Like, a number of things that have happened are just unbelievable. This Home Depot murder, and the text messages, and the mom, and, oh, my God. I don't even know where to start on this story, because reading, you know, it's one thing to kind of hear about this allegation and, you know, but I read the text message thread that WEAR had and I thought, good Lord, your thoughts?
Well, I think that if you take it from the beginning, the information that we get initially is an active shooter. So now we're thinking, no, there's no way. So we're heading that way, and we get the scene secured. Sure enough, there is a female that was deceased, obviously deceased inside the store. Two others were injured with gunfire, and they were already being transported by themselves to the hospital. So we had to clear the building. We don't know who's in there. So as we're getting the information, getting the video to our deputies and to assisting agencies, Pensacola Police Department and the Florida Highway Patrol. The killer decides that, I'm sorry, I should say alleged killer. Anyways, the killer decides that he is going to give himself up, calls 911 when we pick him up. So I'm back in my office, and they say, hey, we're doing some follow-up investigation, and he had an accomplice. I'm like, okay, I've heard that before, right? There's sure. No doubt. Because we have to figure out how to get here, who gave me a gun, who does. We always do that right. Type of follow-up. In this case, they said, no, you're not going to believe it's the mother. I said, the mother? Yeah, and the mother was there at the store. They're at the store. Why was she at the store? Well, the mother gave the victim a ride to the store, and then she helped her son with, I'm like, wait, start over again.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're reading. So what happened was the suspect had a what I call a level of cooperation. We get a search warrant. We get the text messages from his phone.
That he did not delete, even though saying they would or whatever, but glad they didn't.
Well, you know, I'm just saying there's a level of cooperation yeah. on the suspect's part. And then we read what everyone now has read,
yeah.
And we put it in our social media post because we wanted people to see what we see. Because if we just say, oh, we arrest her, we think she's involved, and people say, oh my gosh, how's she involved? She had love of a mother. I can't believe it. This is what we see. This is what's in the affidavit. This is what is in the arrest report. This is what evil looks like.
I mean, egging him on and insulting him if he doesn't go through with it. And the most important concern to her was, don't catch me in the crossfire as you're shooting her.
Yeah, wait till she gets out. Or don't hurt my car.
Right.
Don't shoot my car up. it was pretty cut and dry. We obviously picked her up, I think Washington County, Alabama. And so she's back in our quaint little town, and she'll respond to the charges.
Now, for her, okay, so I know for him it's a capital charge, okay, which mm-hmm. carries the possibility of the death penalty. Right. Does that also carry for her, too?
Yeah, I believe when you're a principal to the major crime, that's possible. I find it hard to believe if you're not the one that pulled the trigger, but it is a first-degree felony,
yeah,
at the very least. It's a murder charge.
Yeah, unbelievable. And then, of course, just yesterday we had a truly strange incident on Pine Forest. Was bad, could have been far worse, but what happened?
The strange things just keep on coming in Escambia County. We have a long list of those things, but this case, yesterday morning, we had a call of a trespass, a simple trespassing call. A store owner wanted a woman that he claimed was acting erratic out of the store, Smartfield, I believe it is, on Pine Forest Road. So we start get our deputies en route, and as we're en route, we find out that they had moved the disturbance or the altercation outside. Then we find out that outside she pulls a gun from somewhere in her person and fires not once, not twice, but three times at the store owner. Fortunately, she misses him, but she then walks away. So we got the description as we get to the store of a female in a dress. So I think it's a blue dress. And our deputies are circulating, obviously, because now she's tried to shoot somebody.
Right.
That's a felony. And so and the deputy sees a woman fitting that description in the median right in between Pine Forest Road, between northbound and southbound, cars, trucks flying by.
45 miles an hour on either side, right.
I've seen the body camera, so I'm pretty clear on what took place. So he's talking to her, and she's complaining about the store owner, but we can't get close enough to her to really touch her and to put her under arrest. And she's walking away, backing away. You can tell she's a little leery. She wants to stay away. And as one of our marked cars comes
to
assist.
And that's an awkward situation for you guys because it's traffic and you're in a car and she's
been not
shooting
a
gun.
Right.
It's just logistically challenging, for
right,
sure.
Right, yeah. And he's probably waiting for the second deputy to get there that can stop her from getting into traffic or whatever.
Yep.
So the second deputy comes with a cars with his lights on. And as she sees the second deputy, she just takes off running. And as she's turning
down the median
to take off to run, well, she's from the median on the edge of the roadway, and then she runs into the road. And in between the two, looks like north or southbound lanes. I can't tell which one it was on the body camera.
Yeah.
And then you can see in her hand, there is a chrome handgun. And as she takes probably 4 to 5 steps, she puts it to her head and pulls the trigger. It's just crazy. It is absolutely crazy.
And then, of course, I mean, that's its own tragedy, but then your officers have to deal with that, the stuff they see, the stuff they, qu- question, could we have done better? What could we? I mean, maybe the answer is nothing, but they still have to live with having encountered that, which, you know, we talk about all the time, the mental health challenges that your officers deal with.
I don't think people understand what the men and women of law enforcement, EMS, see every day.
Yeah.
Certainly law enforcement, because I'll speak for
right.
my profession, because they're there. They're typically the first ones there. They're the ones that are talking to an individual beforehand. And then to see this happen, and you can hear the reaction of the deputies. Oh my gosh! Oh my, you know,
yeah,
that's it's pretty harsh. But I mean, he has to then pry the gun from the woman's hand, and then the firefighters get there. Escambia County Fire and Rescue get there and do a fantastic job. By the way, fantastic job with treating of this lady. They're all very kind, very very supportive. It looks like she may have a gunshot wound to her cheek area, mm-hmm. and I don't know her condition right now. Certainly, we hope that she survives this ordeal. But it just goes to show you some of the crazy things that law enforcement and how quickly things can change.
Yeah.
You know, you think that you just got someone, you know, that's a trespasser. Come to find out that you know she had shot somebody, then come to find out she has a gun. Come to find out that she's, you know, she tries to take her own life.
We've had some others that were, you know, less atrocious, but still pretty weird. You had a stabbing at Mugs and Jugs, but the guy who got stabbed started it, and it was ruled self-defense by the knife holder. Do I have that right?
That's correct. We got a report to a stabbing, and come to find out, as our investigators and uniformed deputies get there, we find out that the person that got stabbed was the person that started it, that attacked the other individual defending himself. Pulled a knife and stabbed him to protect himself.
Yeah.
And you can do that here.
Right, you know? Right. You don't have to use a gun.
You don't have to use a gun. You don't have to. Yeah, you know, oh my gosh, he hit somebody. You can hit somebody that's hitting you. You can hit somebody that's attacking you. And quite frankly, if you feel your life is in danger, you can stab someone or shoot someone that is stabbing or shooting or trying to injure or kill you or another.
And no charges for the initial assailant either in this case?
Not yet. We're looking into it again. I think that neither one wanted to press charges.
Okay.
Although we don't need that. We do take that into account whenever we're investigating. And plus, he got stabbed.
Yeah. So there was something right. Yeah. Then you had a strange one at Oakwood Terrace where the canine officer showed up and the canine officer actually wound up biting his handler. Is that right?
Yeah, what happened is we got a report of a domestic situation where an individual had a gun. I think he fired it or pointed a gun. I can't recall. And then he took off running. So our canine gets there to track him. Well, our canine does a good job, but because there's so many children and people around, the canine handler had the dog on the leash.
Okay.
He's on, a 6-foot leash. And when the dog sees the suspect, he wants to go and chase that suspect. That's what his job is.
Right.
You know, he's expected
he knows his
to
job.
Be, he's expected to be released. Because that's the suspect right in front of me. You know, you can almost read his mind. Dude, let me go. That's our guy.
Yeah.
The deputy, to his credit, decided it's not a good place to release the dog. And so he keeps the dog on the leash. And the dog gets upset, angry, and instinctively turns around and bites the deputy on the leg.
He's okay?
Yeah, the deputy's okay. He went to hospital just to get it treated. Because as you can imagine, it's you know, a little dirty and had to be cleaned out. But he's walking around, maybe limping a little bit still. But again, you think, oh my gosh, well, how did that happen? And what happened because our canine handlers are trained to evaluate the scene, to evaluate the situation, and not just let our dogs roam free and ultimately...
If you see the bad guy in a group, you don't just shoot him because you might miss. And if you see a bad guy in a group, you don't just release the dog because the dog might... You don't know for sure. I mean, you know what he's supposed to do, but... You know, and K-9's going to be back to active service. This is not a problem for him to be able to continue as an officer.
The dog was due to be retired here in a couple months. So we went ahead and decided that dog can go ahead and retire.
Okay, which makes sense. You know,
yeah. Again, I think the important part here is that the canine handler used his judgment and decided not to let the dog loose.
Absolutely.
Because again, would the dog have gone after a suspect? I am certain. I have no doubt. However, there's always that chance. And in that environment with kids and everyone running around, they can be distracting to a dog. And I would hate for a child to be bit because, you know, a suspect decides he's going to run from law enforcement.
Lone bad guy in a field, no problem.
Absolutely.
Bad guy in the midst of a bunch of people, including kids, you know, yeah. you want to be safe.
Let's use our good judgment. And they did. And we have a fantastic canine unit. We really do. Lieutenant Biggs does a great job of training, and we're on top of all that.
And just this is kind of the last one, but this goes back right before I was on vacation. It was actually 2 weeks ago, I think. But you had two people wind up getting killed in a drive-by on Patricia Drive. But in the response to that, you had a deputy driving to the scene got into an accident, if I remember this correctly. You're looking like
I didn't. Yeah, we did have a what I'll call a minor traffic accident in response to a shooting. I think one person got killed.
Yeah,
and one
okay.
person got shot. I don't think.
But
there were
to me,
kills.
what it reminded me of, and that's why I wanted to highlight it, is that, you know, when you see people with their lights on, get out of the road, get out of the way, and let them do their jobs. Right.
Well, we don't put our lights and sirens on for no reason. We do that only because, in fact, in our on our policy is that to respond with lights and sirens, you now have to get permission from a supervisor, because
okay.
a supervisor monitoring the radios, and what they'll say, for those of you who really care, is they'll say, you know, 1018, which is our with emergency response, and then the dispatcher will say, supervisor, are you aware of that?
Yeah.
And they'll say, go ahead and do that, because sometimes, you know, we can have three or four cars respond what we call emergency response 1018. But the rest of them, if you're going from coming from too far away, we don't need you to do that. So,
right.
you know, we've come a long way.
You learned a lot.
In the 80s when I was there, when you had something going on, you know, our whole plan was to get there as quickly as we possibly can. So we would do blue lights and sirens almost every time.
We'd get there quickly.
Yes,
appropriate response to the danger and to the resources needed to task to it. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff, as always, sir, thanks so much for the time. Thanks for being here, and we'll talk to you again next week. Hopefully it's less eventful.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. 5:50 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. And by the way, just as an odd happens to be true, we've got Channel 3 on the scene at Mugs and Jugs this morning, where they're reporting, what, we've had somebody shot six or seven times, a woman
That's
shot.
That's what it says, six or seven times. I think they're...
Holy smokes, man.
Yeah.
You know,
and they just finished interviewing witnesses about like 20 minutes
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, like that's an active scene right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, right,
so.
Right.
Okay. Also, are they open this? I mean, 6 o'clock in the morning.
I think I did the grand opening like...
Years and years ago.
Right. No, it's a bar, right? I mean, they're only open until 3.
So
yeah.
I've not been in.
Well,
it
if
has, based on the name, you would think that it's...
I know. That's everybody that was pulling in was like, hey, where's the exotic dancers?
Right.
That's what it sounds like.
I mean, I know it's
right.
not, but that's
right.
what it sounds like.
Right.
So.
But if they close at 2 or 3 and you figure there's a shooting
yeah,
and whatever, and then investigations
okay.
take a long time. So
right,
I
yeah,
guess
that
that's what
sense.
It is. But yeah, that was surprising. There was just a stabbing there.
Well, okay. You know, yeah. 5:51 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need any kind of heating, air conditioning, plumbing, electrical working, anything like that done, Peden, they will take care of you. They're fantastic. You know, lots of local presence, obviously. And they have several specials going on right now. For example, one thing is if you get a major system installation like an HVAC or water heater, electrical panels or generators, typically there's an $89 service fee to have that done. Right now that's waived. Their back to school special right now is no service fee. And you get 5% off the price of the system. So right now, 5% off the price of the system and $89 service fee is waived. The Emax Auto Booster, get 40% more hot water from your existing electric tank. And right now, customers can get 50% off the Emax Auto Booster with an installation of any 40 or 50-gallon electric water heater. Free inspections and clean out with the sewer repiping. Also, BOGO, or buy one, get one on the toilet rebuilds, 15% off maintenance. So a lot of specials going on right now. And you can sign up for Peden Smart Care membership maintenance plan. Routine maintenance for just $35 a month. And you can enjoy priority scheduling over non-members, you know, when there's things, lots of people needing help. 15% discount on repairs or upgrades and a 5% discount on major replacement and waived after our emergency service fees. So find out more about any of those deals or just get general service at Peden, PEADEN.com.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. From our spectacular beaches to the miles of rivers and unspoiled forests, the Gulf Coast offers some of the best family adventure around. And the Subaru Crosstrek and Subaru Forester are the perfect family vehicles to explore every dune and unpaved trail in Northwest Florida. Both come standard with sure-footed symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you deep into the wild places you love. The Crosstrek is powered by 182 horsepower Subaru boxer engine that adds plenty of go to any adventure. And the Forester boasts 9.2 inches of ground clearance to get you through every wilderness challenge. There's more than enough room for your gear and plenty of options to make the Crosstrek or Forester fit your lifestyle. In a Subaru, the destination is the journey. So grab the kids and the dog and follow your own path to adventure. Love is out there at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Mow, dig, haul, lift. The versatile Kubota BX Series subcompact tractor does it all. Switching attachments is simple, and a smooth hydrostatic transmission makes for easy operation. The Kubota BX Series, rated number one in durability and owner experience. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Visit the friendly folks at Coastal Machinery, now with 40 years in the business. Locations in Pensacola and Crestview.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
This is the AK-47 assault rifle, the preferred weapon of your enemy. And it makes a distinctive sound when fired at you, so remember it.
Was significantly younger when Heartbreak Ridge came out, and I saw this movie, and knowing very little about many things, I thought that his name, like, it was Sergeant Gunny Highway. I thought Gunny was just his name.
It's not?
No, Gunnery Sergeant. It's a short for Gunnery. Oh. You know, I think it's Tom, actually, if I remember correctly from the movie. But
it's so funny. Dana always corrects me on stuff. She works for the USO, yeah. And I was like, GIs, nobody calls them that anymore.
That's right.
Yeah, so.
From 1948, you know.
Thank you.
Kenny, thanks so much. Yeah. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Biden administration announcing new income-based student loan repayment plan options. The Saving on a Value Education or SAVE plan will allow more borrowers to qualify for $0 monthly payments. The news coming just weeks before interest will start accruing again on student loans for the first time in several years now. $1 billion being allocated for new mid-stage COVID vaccine trials. A White House official said in a news conference yesterday that the $1 billion will be split among four biotech companies. The vaccine trial is set to begin this winter. And there may be a development in the Hollywood writers and actors strike, or at least the writers portion of it. Major studios now offering a new deal to the Hollywood Writers Guild in hopes of ending the four-month-old strike. The Alliance of Motion Picture and TV Producers proposing new terms for the Writers Guild of America that would include a wage increase, residual pay, and a guarantee that AI will not be producing material that's considered to be literary material.
What did I say yesterday? I said that this ruling by this judge that you can't copyright things made by the AI is going to be the breakthrough, because the studios are going to realize this doesn't give them any copyright protection on their produced materials, and therefore they're going to be willing to go back to paying humans, or to stay with paying humans for their work, because they won't be able to enforce copyrights on their produced films. Now, I was sort of, I mean, I thought that was an interesting connection. I don't think that's the reason why, but is timing coincidental?
It very much is, yes.
Oh, yeah, sure. We can negotiate now, and we promise not to use that evil AI, because we can't copyright it.
Finally, humans have value again.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, we have legal standing, and those silly machines don't yet. David, thanks so much for the update. 5:57 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is a serious story, but it's one of those where it might make you chuckle just a little bit, and maybe that just tells you more about me than anything else. Serious story about the health danger of ceiling fans.
All right.
And children, what's one of the most common things that any parent does with a baby?
They throw them up in the air.
And do they ever throw them up in the air without looking to see if there's a ceiling fan in operation in that room?
I'm going
to
go ahead and guess yes.
2,300 times a year, kids go to the ER.
No!
Yes. Now, think about that number. 2,300 times a year is the number that go to the ER.
Right, versus just
shake
it off.
The number of times rub some dirt on it. You'll be fine. Right? I mean, got to figure there's, what, 5 or 10 factor past that where kids, you know, it's not serious or the parents don't take them to the ER either because it's not serious or because they're like, man, I just did that. I can't take them to the ER and say
Thank goodness,
you know, which you should anyway, by the way. But yeah, wow. So be careful when you're tossing your kids up in the air. Just do it when there's not a ceiling fan. And it's funny, too, because, you know, the ceiling fan is so much taller than most people that you don't think about it.
Yeah,
if it's just in operation, it's just in operation, and you don't. It's easy to forget that it's there because under normal circumstances, you're not throwing anything up into it by mistake. Mm-hmm. But pretty good news note to beware because that happens all too often. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.